Hello and welcome to another edition of On the Mat here on barnburner.ca. Joseph Pasek with Laurie Mitchell, and we got the Hall of Famer, had to bring him back, the Hall of Famer, Steve Carney of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. We're going to preview the Hell in a Cell from the pizza. Yes, Little Caesars Arena. Rory is on his way. I'm sending you to Detroit. Why am I sending you to Detroit? Why aren't I going to the... You know, let me tell you, Steve. This guy, I got him a media pass to go to Hell in a Cell. What does he do? Yeah, Joe, you know, I see the Detroit Lions are playing the Carolina Panthers. Can you get me a pass there? So what do? I get him a pass also. You can appreciate that because you covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But let's get to the preview of the Hell in a Cell this Sunday. By the way, match-by-match results on the Barn Burner phone line, 416-800-7771, 1-888-680-7771. Okay, this has not been reported, but I have heard from a couple sources that the kickoff show match will be Mojo Riley versus Zack Ryder. What are your thoughts, Steve? Since you're the guest, what are your thoughts?
So you're going to give me the kickoff match, is that?
No, I'll give you all the matches. I'll give you all the matches, but woo, woo, woo. Like, you like Zack Ryder. Woo, woo, woo.
You know, I remember Mojo when he was playing in the NFL, and I wasn't that impressed with him as an NFL player. I haven't been that impressed with him as a WWE wrestler. You know, he's big, and I know Vince McMahon loves big guys. And so I'm sure that this is all about Vince and his infatuation with former NFL players. You know, his father did it with Ernie Ladd back in the day, and now he's done it with Ron Simmons and now Baron Corbin and Mojo Rawley. I'm not that impressed with him. I think he's just a guy that runs around and looks like a wild man. I like Zack Ryder as a competitor. I think he's a great worker. And while I think that Mojo probably ends up getting the win in this match to try and give him a little bit of a push and see what he can do, I think that hopefully this makes Ryder look good as well.
And before we get to Rory's pick, you know, I'm going to tell you, Corey Graves told me Mojo Rawley reminds him of a bigger Enzo Amore. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right. You've got cruiserweight Enzo and you have heavyweight Enzo. So I think that, you know, I don't know if you saw Breaking Ground series, yeah, on the WWE Network, but Mojo basically lived with Apollo Crews and what's his name that's in New Japan now, that was just unbelievable. The fact that three guys that big lived in a place as small as they did in Orlando was absolutely mind-blowing.
That's right. That's right. Now, Rory, your thoughts, Mojo Rawley against Zack Ryder. Who's going to win?
Well, let's look at it like this. We got Mojo Rawley, and unless he has Gronk in his corner, Cummins going to be aiding him this weekend. One would say Zack Ryder to win this match, but I agree with what Steve was saying there, is that I think Mojo has a dirty type of win and pushes him in the right direction. When we say right direction, is the direction going to be now mid-tier, or could we see him be a top-tier talent now on SmackDown? When you take a look at a wrestler of his caliber, you know, he's big. He's got the physique. He's got the ability. He's a hype person. So it should be interesting to see where he lands. And what I like about SmackDown that differs from Raw is SmackDown like to take a lot more chances with the wrestlers it feels like, right? We got certain guys, like, you know, we're going to speak about Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke and stuff like that, but they take more chances with the wrestlers. So it should be interesting to see where Mojo finds himself on the SmackDown roster after he picks up a pretty dirty win, right?
All right. I'll start with you, Rory, first for the next match because, you know, we're talking about the Bulgarian Brute. You're the Canadian Brute. Randy Orton, Rusev, your thoughts?
Well, it's not going to be 10 seconds this time around. I think Rusev is going to extract a little bit of revenge. I don't really, as a fan, as an insider, I really don't want to see this match. I think that ever since we've seen Randy Orton in the title picture, he's now taking a step back. It's like he's going to be now the new journeyman. You know what I mean? He's going to be putting a lot of the younger talent, if you would like to say, over now. But him picking up that 10-second win with an RKO, I don't expect to see that this weekend. I think Rusev is going to go over this time around. And hopefully, let's get Rusev back where he needs to be, you know, a strong heel, you know, taunting the crowd. And, you know, I'm pulling for Rusev on this one.
Steve, what about the Carney Crush? Carney Crush.
Well, you know, I don't know what Rusev did to get into the doghouse of the powers that be, but I'm with Rory on this. This is not going to be a 10-second match, but I think that this will be telling going forward as to just where Rusev actually stands in the hierarchy of performers. You know, everybody moved up and down basically at the whim of Vince and Triple H and Stephanie. I think that and Shane. I think that on the SmackDown side, I think it's good that Rusev is there, because I think that whatever knocks he took from Vince is going to be less than being on Tuesdays as opposed to being on Mondays. I think that this is probably, as Rory said, a chance for Rusev to even the series. I think that it also allows you to basically move this rivalry a little further along. You know, and I say, as we look forward towards Survivor Series, you know, it looks like you could have some sort of finish at Survivor Series with these two, whether it's you put them in an angle with two other guys and then you kind of make the switch and basically trade off opponents going forward after Survivor Series. But I certainly think that this you end up evening the series here at Hell in a Cell, and then you move forward towards Survivor Series.
All right, the next match.
Before we get into the next match, I want to point out something to Steve, and you just kind of said something that got my gears turning. Is, you know, split the difference between Rusev going over this weekend, but maybe even do a safe type of match where you have Rusev being the Bulgarian Brute and Randy Orton being North America, and you can spin off an angle where we do Team North America versus Team the World. It's a safe booking for a pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, I certainly think that's probably something that, you know, and especially because you have Survivor Series coming up here in November, you're going to need a traditional Survivor Series type match. So
exactly,
you could make
exactly.
that traditional Survivor Series be Rusev and his team, where you put together guys, you know, that are from outside of the United States and Canada against Randy Orton and his group, whatever
exactly,
that may
exactly.
Is.
Yeah.
All right, the next match, Dolph Ziggler, or should I call it a Ziggler H, or Ziggler Michaels, or Ziggler Undertaker, or whatever you want to talk about, against the glorious one, Joe Pickett, never Bobby Roode. Is there any question that Bobby Roode, the glorious one, will win this bout? Let's go off first with Rory.
Well, I said it on a previous show. Let's be honest here. This is going to be this could potentially be the match of the night. I don't expect Bobby Roode coming in so hot, coming off the momentum off of NXT, holding that championship, losing it, unfortunately. But him coming with his SmackDown side, you know, this is going to be a five-star match. You know, Dolph Ziggler is a great worker. Bobby Roode, we already know what he can do. I expect this to be very entertaining, very physical, and both competitors are going to be able to do what they need to do. And, you know, I can almost guarantee you, unless something dramatically goes wrong, Bobby Roode's going to pick up the finish and ride that momentum going into Survivor Series, going into Royal Rumble, and hopefully having a title shot of some caliber at WrestleMania next year.
Steve?
Yeah, and not only does Bobby Roode picking up the win help him, but, you know, Ziggler losing doesn't necessarily hurt him either. I think that it's just going to add more fire under the gimmick that he's doing right now, where he's, I'm not appreciated, blah, blah, blah. I had the best match of the night, and nobody cares because you only care about gimmicks. And I think that that actually even fueled Ziggler's character even further, and I think that it makes his character even hotter. So I agree with Rory. You're going to see a very intense, a very physical, and an extremely entertaining match with Bobby Roode picking up the win and Dolph Ziggler picking up even more heat because of the loss.
You're listening to the On the Mat show here on barnburner.ca with Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed, and Steve Carney of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. We're going to go with Steve now. The next match, Natalya, a championship match, ladies' championship match, Natalya against, Charlotte Flair. Did you read that book yet, Steve?
I have not read the book yet.
Come on, they put me over. They put me over in that book. I'm a limited riding, kiss dealing, willing dealing. Never mind. Go ahead. Charlotte against Natalya, ladies' title.
Yeah, these two have met before. If you remember, Charlotte won her first initial NXT Women's Championship after Paige had to relinquish the title against Natalya in a very entertaining match that had Ric Flair in Charlotte's corner and Bret Hart in Natalya's corner. I'm really going to be interested. Natalya is always so good. She may not have the charisma on the mic. The whole cat thing is always funny, but, it's kind of like, okay, whatever. I'm not always that interested in what Natty has to say on the mic. But her work in the ring is just absolutely fantastic. Charlotte, if you remember what Charlotte looked like when she first went to NXT and compared to what she does now, it is absolutely amazing to see how far she has come in such a short period of time, 5 years, what she looks like now as opposed to what she looked like when she started in 2012. This should be an incredible match. Charlotte went all that time without losing in a pay-per-view. But I have a feeling that you're going to see Natty retain in this. I think that they're waiting for one of the big four, like maybe Survivor Series, or even they may end up going all the way to the Royal Rumble before you see a babyface woman take the title and then immediately have Carmella cash in.
All right. Before Rory talks about, you mentioned Paige. Paige is set to return. Does she return at Hell in a Cell, Steve?
No, I don't think she returns at Hell in a Cell. I know she's back at the Performance Center here in Orlando. But you got to remember, this is a girl that hasn't been in the ring for 16 months. So I have a feeling that they want to try and get her into 100% ring shape. She's healthy now, but she's not in ring shape. So I think that they may end up waiting until after Royal Rumble before they bring Paige back. It's going to be a while before you see her.
All right, and one last, and then Rory will give his prediction. There's all this talk of, the Four Horsewomen against the Four Horsewomen. That looks like it's going to happen at the Survivor Series. And then there's talk of Charlotte taking on Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. But not only that, there's some sneaky whispers, and I don't know if you heard it, Steve. I know Rory hasn't heard it because I tell Rory everything. that it will be Charlotte Ronda Rousey main eventing WrestleMania. What are your thoughts, Steve?
Well, I personally think that Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen match doesn't deserve to be at Survivor Series. It deserves to be at WrestleMania. That is a WrestleMania match if I've ever heard one. And so I think that Survivor Series is not nearly enough time to give that match a proper build-up. I think that, yeah, maybe they start the angle at the Survivor Series, like maybe the Four Horsewomen show up at Survivor Series and start messing with the Four Horsewomen. But let's be honest, Joe, this is an angle that you could get 6 months out of. I truly believe that you could get 6 months out of this angle. You want this build-up. You want everybody thinking about the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen at WrestleMania. And I certainly think that that would be much more of a higher in the card match than Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. And I think that even a Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen match would not be the main event at WrestleMania. I think that the main event at WrestleMania is going to be John Cena's farewell match.
Wow. Okay. And also, rumor has it that's why you haven't seen Sasha turn on Bayley, because they're keeping her for the Four Horsewomen match. Now, Rory, give me your thoughts on the match and anything else that we just talked about.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. You guys said a lot of stuff that I wanted to say, so I'm going to kind of piece it all together. The Canadian Natalya, you know, great wrestler and stuff like that. Charlotte, you know, one of my fan favorites also, too. You're going to see a combination of things. I was going to say cash-in, right? But we may see Carmella come out, right? She may tease a cash-in. I don't think we see that just yet. Because strategically, we can kind of feel like when a cash-in is going to happen. With it being the women's title, it's a little hard now. But what I see happening is, yes, Natalya is going to go over, but there's going to be some sort of interference. Now, could we see an invasion beatdown where the horsewomen decide to show up, Ronda and her crew? I don't think you're going to see Ronda just yet. I think they're going to save Ronda for a Survivor Series appearance. You know what I mean? Maybe even tease her for Royal Rumble. As far as where the direction of Charlotte is, I don't think, I think it's too soon to have Charlotte pick up the title, because if you have her pick up the title, the impact of making a WrestleMania moment where you have Ronda, Charlotte for the women's championship would be big. That would be blockbuster. But I feel that we're going to be planting a lot of seeds come this weekend. I have Natalya going over, and it's going to be the horsewoman now jumping Charlotte or somebody from that crew, from the henchwoman there, to really lay the boots on Charlotte. Natalya walks out with the Divas Championship.
All right, next match, U.S. title, AJ Styles versus the Dumpster Fire, Baron Corbin. We'll start off with you. You're in London, Ontario. A lot of dumpster fires in London. Your thoughts?
It's funny. You're speaking about the Fanshawe College situation that happened many, many years back. bunch of silly kids doing all that good stuff. So I like how you put that.
You were part of it, weren't you?
No, Zero, I wasn't. You can't see them live on air here. I was actually coming home that day. So it's funny because the area that I live around is right around Fanshawe College. So it was pretty happening that night. But anyways, this match here is intriguing. I like AJ Styles, Baron Corbin. You know, if there's a perfect time for Baron Corbin to make back his name, is going to be this weekend. He lost the Money in the Bank, right? He, you know, seems like he's a little bit in the doghouse right now with the WWE. I feel that we're going to see Baron Corbin go over clean against AJ Styles.
I don't know. So you're saying he wins the belt?
I feel Baron Corbin right now, it would be a shocker because this is all about booking in my eyes. If Baron Corbin doesn't win it this weekend, he probably picks it up right around Survivor Series. But I think this is where you right now have to bring back Baron Corbin's name. I like Baron Corbin. I thought he was going to be a future champion this year, maybe even headlining into next year. But I would like to see him go over, win this weekend against AJ Styles, pin him clean, make it believable, and then he can kind of build back his name and he can have that edge, you know, because then he can start cutting the promos of, hey, I beat your guys', you know, you're one of your fans' favorites in AJ Styles. I beat him clean. I'm back on the top dog. I'm back on the totem pole. Now I have the U.S. title. Come take it from me, right?
All right, Steve, what your thoughts? I think Rory doesn't want none. He doesn't want none.
Well, here's the thing, and I like Rory's assessment, and thinking like a booker is different than thinking like than a fan or someone that follows the storylines. When you think like a booker, you're not thinking about this particular, this particular card. You're thinking, you know, the next pay-per-view card down, or you're thinking the next major pay-per-view card down the road, or you're thinking, how is this going to build toward WrestleMania? Because we all know that this thing, that everything builds towards the end of April / or the end of March / beginning of April, and where WrestleMania is going to. And so I think that Rory's right. I think that they need to start building Baron Corbin back up, because they need to have a strong bad guy heel champ in the, you know, because I don't think Kevin Owens is going to end up with a title before then, and I think that they need to have somebody that is going to be coming into a major pay-per-view with the title and going, look, I'm the man. You know, you already have Jinder, but you don't know if that's going to be where Jinder ends up dropping the title. You know, if Jinder drops the title to Shinsuke Nakamura, which we'll talk about a little later here at Hell in a Cell, now you've got a babyface champion going into Survivor Series, and I don't think that you want to have all babyfaces with the belt at Survivor Series.
All right. So next, a Hell in a Cell match. The tag team titles, The New Day versus the Day Oneers, or Day One-ish, or whatever you want to call it, the Usos. This match, since it's Hell in a Cell, we've seen this match all the time, and these guys deliver, but something tells me this is where we're going to see something like what we're going to talk about, Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens. Something's going to happen in this match. Maybe Kofi does it, maybe Xavier Woods or whatever, but we'll first start off with you, Steve. What are your thoughts with this match? And they think the first time ever a tag team title, but we've seen Hell in a Cell matches like these, but what are your thoughts about this? Should be a very, very good match.
Yeah, I think that if that Bobby Roode Dolph Ziggler match from earlier in the card does somewhat disappoint, this one is going to make up for it in spades. So I think that these two matches are probably the two best matches of the night by far. And, you know, when you put the New Day and the Usos in the ring together, it's almost like magic happens. They're so good together. They complement each other so well. And I'm really excited to see this match. I have a feeling that the New Day is going to retain. The belts have been going back and forth for a while. But I think that they're going to have to stabilize the belts on one team going forward. And I think that putting them and keeping them on the New Day is probably a little more advantageous than putting them on the Usos. Just going forward, looking long term, I think that you're probably going to end up seeing the New Day hold on to them. Because there's a couple of guys in NXT that I think would love to have a shot at the SmackDown Tag Team Championship going forward down the road, and those two guys are Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. I would love to see an angle between Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish in the New Day.
Rory?
This match is going to be interesting. You know, like I said, the titles have been bounced around between both of the tag teams. I'm a fan of the New Day. I think, you know, we see them all over Raw, and then now they've migrated over to SmackDown. The gimmick is kind of getting, it's getting a little stale. I've liked the new Usos. I like the new way that they're doing things, the way that they're coming with this edge. You know what I mean? I think a lot of wrestlers, you know, like the Usos, Baron Corbin, need to have that sort of edge to get them over. This match is hard for me to kind of call, because it can go either way. I mean, like Steve just said, is that you have to now establish the longevity of the tag team titles. You got to make it now household names. You got to make it to the point where we see a tag team, you know, carry these titles. This is all building for WrestleMania. So, you know, who's the right fit? And I feel that the right fit is the New Day, but I'm going to go against the grain on this. I'm going to say, let's let Usos pick up these tag team titles this weekend. That's going to be my pick. In a great match, right? In a very, very great match, well orchestrated, but they will come out the tag team champions once again and carry it on until WrestleMania when they drop it.
All right, now let's talk about the other Hell in a Cell match, Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. Rory, your thoughts. We're going to lead off with you.
Yeah, well, this is going to be an ultimate spot fest. You know, Shane has bid for it. I just hope Shane doesn't do what he feels like he's going to do again and jump off.
The guy survived the plane crash. Come on. The guy survived the plane crash.
Yeah, but you know what? Your body is one thing, and me as in my second side job that I have is being a personal trainer. Like, you're older, so you're jumping off of, you know, if it's 20 feet off the air, 15 feet.
Hold on, Steve. I just got a respect. There's a special referee going to be announced for this match. At the Pizza Little Caesar Arena. Nicholas Lindstrom is the special.
It's going to be an ultimate squad fest. I can see, because see, Kevin Owens can take a lot of bumps also too. So maybe they might flip it where Kevin Owens takes the biggest bump of the night. I don't expect Shane to do it because surviving a plane crash is one thing, but like you know what I mean. These wrestlers go through, you know, a lot of strenuous work. You know what I mean. They're always doing the craziest things, but I think it's time where Shane gets some respect. They're going to put on somewhat of a decent match. I don't expect it to be anything crazy, but Shane walks out with the pin. You can kind of look at it being avenging his father, and now we have Kevin Owens going even more. And it's funny, I keep saying this, the edge has more of an edge leading up to what he needs to lead up to, you know what I mean? And this, it's going to be drawing himself back into the main event picture, which I don't think he will. It's kind of looking at it now. Kevin Owens loses this match, and you know, Shane does what he needs to do as a GM, and Kevin Owens, you know, maybe have him kind of pick off a couple of the younger talent now in the SmackDown roster.
You know, I remember the first Hell in a Cell match with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker back in 1997, and you didn't see any of these giant spots, you know. You know, you didn't see the diving off the cell, and you didn't see, you know, there was no work on the top of the cage and stuff like that. I think that this one, while there is going to be some really, really good spots, you know, in the match, I think that it's all going to take place inside the cell. I don't even think they even touched the top. I think that they need to get away from that, because when you start going to the top of the cage every time out, it becomes commonplace. And I think that it should be a special moment when somebody climbs to the top of the Hell in a Cell, and you know that you're going to see something huge coming off, some huge, gigantic spot coming off of the top of the cell. I'd like to see this one end up more like that Shawn Michaels Undertaker. They did some really, really inventive and creative stuff inside the cell you didn't have to go to the top of the cage. You didn't have to work outside the cage and up the cage. You worked inside the cage. And I think that there's going to be some big spots taken by Kevin Owens. I think Rory's right about that. I think Shane ends up going over with the pin. And I think he's right that this just absolutely drives Kevin Owens almost to the edge of off a cliff insane wise, and I think he ends up becoming one of those guys like Brock Lesnar when he first made his mark in WWE back in the early 2000s, where he was running in and taking out guys. I think that Kevin Owens ends up that way as well.
All right, now that may be the main event, but let's talk about what we're going to talk about, the main event for the WWE title, Jinder Mahal up against Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, I'm going to tell you what I have heard here, that, as you know, as first reported by me, Starrcade's happening in Greensboro, North Carolina, November 25th. I know Jinder Mahal is up against Shinsuke Nakamura. I also know that the WWE just announced a tour of India at the beginning of December. So I think that they're going to have a title change, not at Hell in a Cell or not at Survivor Series or maybe at Survivor Series, but there's going to be a title change at Starrcade also. But speaking about Hell in a Cell, do you think there's a title change here, Steve?
I don't think so. I think that you'll probably end up seeing, much has been the MO for Jinder Mahal's entire reign as champion, you're going to see interference from the Singh brothers. And I think that you're going to end up seeing Jinder once again retaining and going on to that Starrcade card on November 25th as the champ. I think that you're going to end up seeing stuff like that. So this, you know, I hate saying this because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Shinsuke Nakamura. I like what Jinder Mahal has done since returning, but I think this is going to be a boring title match, and I'm glad it's not going to be on last. Let's put it that way.
All right, Rory.
I think this is, you know, I'm big on Jinder, and I know, Joe, you know this, and Steve, for the first time having this the platform to share with you, is I'm big on Jinder, and I like the gimmick that he has. But I wish he never had the Singh brothers. And I think now the way we have to make him impactful as a champion is let him have a match. Let him have a somewhat of a four-star or five-star match with Shinsuke. We both know that Shinsuke can wrestle, and Jinder is showing that he can actually hold his own in the ring. I would like to see, and I will say this, there's going to be no title change right now. Jinder's going to walk out of Hell in a Cell with the world title. But let it be believable where he doesn't need his henchmen, right? Because I wish they didn't have that with Jinder's gimmick. You know, have him as the modern day Mazarov, and just have him, he's good on the mic, he's believable on the mic in my eyes. I know some people beg to differ, but have him go over this weekend, beat Shinsuke in the middle of the ring, 1-2-3, clean finish. You need a clean finish from Jinder.
All right, now that's the preview for Hell in a Cell. We're gonna conclude with a couple questions with Steve and Lori about other WWE TLC coming up. One match announced on Raw this past week, and I know, Steve, you're looking forward to this one, right? Alexa Bliss up against Mickey James, and you know, it's in Minnesota, hometown of Brock Lesnar, and they don't even mention Brock Lesnar. And what are they going to do with Braun Strowman from now on, Steve?
You know, I'm curious to see what they're going to do with Braun Strowman because, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Joe, you know, it looked like they were going to get the Shield back together with against Cesaro and Ambrose. It turned out that The Miz is the third guy on that other side, and you know, I'm curious to see what they do with Strowman because, you know, are they just going to have him come in and demolish guys for the next 3 months until Lesnar comes back? You know, what do they do there? I'm really curious to see. And to be honest, I don't know what they're going to do there. I think they've kind of painted themselves into a corner.
But, you know, one guy who we haven't talked about, Rory, I'll give you this one. Samoa Joe is scheduled to come back very, very soon. Could Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman go at it?
They could go at it, but is that I think that's too hard for TV. And I'm sorry, Braun Strowman would put Samoa Joe, like, through anything. And, you know, Samoa Joe is not the, you know, he's got a lot of lingering injuries. He just came off an injury right now. So I don't know if he wants that issue with Braun, because Braun's a brute. Braun's a force. And, you know, Samoa Joe, I guess you could run a little angle. I expect to see, even with Samoa Joe, I don't even know where he's going to go right now. He should actually, I'll tell you this, I think Samoa Joe should kind of start teasing the crowd about him wanting to fight John Cena. Have him be the one to call out John Cena, is Samoa Joe. And, you know, kind of be like, hey, where's your great American hero? You know, I'm the one who's taking out your heroes. Like when you first came to Raw and you took out Seth Rollins and then had a little run in with Roman Reigns also too. But, you know, with Braun, it's kind of like a big question mark. What do we do with him? You know what I mean? Like, who on the roster, and I said this to you, Joe, is who on the roster right now, if we take Brock Lesnar out the mix, who can beat a Braun Strowman? Like, who has the ability to beat Braun Strowman in a one-on-one match? You know what I mean? So they've kind of, you know, they've backed themselves into a bear hole, so it should be interesting to see what happens.
Final two questions with Steve Carney of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, and our wrestling insider, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. A couple weeks ago, Steve, the Young Bucks came to Raw. Of course, the Young Bucks, very famous Ring of Honor and stuff like that. And now, for sure, they won't get a chance with the WWE. But, you know, the club, their Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, Corey Rhodes making a name for himself. What do you think of those things, like when DX came to WCW and tried to invade them also?
Well, I think that Vince McMahon is a little too smart. I mean, Vince McMahon is a lot smarter than the guys in the North Tower CNN Center were going forward. That, you know, he's allowed the Young Bucks and the Bullet Club to use the two suite and to go through everything that they've done, basically ripping off the NWO and DX, all of their catchphrases and all of the two suites. And I think that, you know, Vince has allowed that to happen. I think that Vince thinks that's normally a good thing. And this is a good thing for the Young Bucks, saying, you know, we're going to sue if you use the two suite again, or you know, you say suck it, we're going to sue you for theft of intellectual property. And you know, this just puts the Bucks into a whole new realm. I think that it's definitely a lot of, I think it's a fun, it's about as close to real life and because it is real life that you're going to see from sports entertainment. I think it's hilarious. And I think that the Bucks have done a great job. They got brand new T-shirts out because of the whole thing, and you know, it's just going to make them a whole lot more money.
Okay, and you mentioned at the start of this on the mat show that Vince likes big guys, but a guy who's going to propose to play Vince McMahon in a pictorial, Bradley Cooper. Your thoughts about Bradley Cooper acting as Vince McMahon?
Well, Bradley Cooper's a big wrestling fan. I believe he's GM Raw before,
yeah.
And I think that I think that this is definitely, you're not going to do a biopic and a portrayal of Vince McMahon without Vince McMahon's blessing. And so this is Cooper has shown that he can be athletic type. He's not the biggest guy in the world, but then again, you know, Vince for a long time wasn't the biggest guy in the world either. He started getting big, you know, in his late 40s and moving forward. I'm okay. You know, if Vince is okay with it, I mean, I'm curious to see what he's going to look like. I wonder if he gets all the hey pal, if he gets all of that. You know, if he can do all the little idiosyncrasies that Vince McMahon is known for, the hey pal, to being against sneezing There are so many little stories out there about Vince McMahon and some of the things that he likes and some of the things that he doesn't like that I'd be curious to see what Bradley Cooper's portrayal would be like.
My question is, between you two guys, Steve Carney and Rory Mitchell, who's the generic jackhammer? All right, now, one last question.
I don't know. I'm getting up there in age. I might be the geriatric jackhammer.
Hey, I'm 33, so I don't know.
I just turned 40, so.
All right, the final question here, and Steve, you'll touch on this, because Rory doesn't care about GFW, Global Force Wrestling. Global Force Wrestling's big sort of WrestleMania, Bound for Glory, November 5th, coming to Ottawa. Your thoughts, Steve?
You know, it's going to be interesting because with all the changes that have gone on over the last couple of weeks at GFW, basically with Jeff Jarrett getting up and getting out of this, I'm curious to see what Anthem is going to look like going forward, because I think that a lot of the storylines that have gone on over the last, say, 2 or 3 months since Jeff Jarrett and Global Force took over the creative on Impact, I think they're going to go back to the way that it used to be, and that's, I think, not a good thing for the folks at Impact. I think that there's going to be some. It's going to not. I think they're definitely taking another step back, and that's, I think, a good thing for a situation like a Ring of Honor or even New Japan. New Japan had a very successful run through California earlier this summer, and I know that New Japan is going to come back next summer to run California again. It would not surprise me if they try and branch out a little bit. Maybe they have a show in Las Vegas. Maybe they have a show in Dallas. You know, they can move towards the east from California and maybe have some other big shows in North America come 2018. Because I think that Impact is going to have to take a step back.
All right, you've been listening to the On the Mat show here on barnburner.ca with Steve Carney, our Hall of Famer from WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Steve, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and listen to you.
Oh, yeah, we're on 620 WDAE is on the iHeartRadio app. You know, we're 24/7. While my stretch has changed a little bit now that baseball season is over, I'm sure you can hear me plenty in the afternoons. I'll be filling in hosting and doing SportsCenter and stuff like that. So you'll definitely hear me a lot on the iHeartRadio app.
And also with me here on the Mat Wrestling Show, barnburner.ca, Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed. And Rory, tell everybody, this is episode 53. You have a very special episode, episode 53 on the Mitchell Report Unleashed.
Oh, yes, I do, and it's featuring yours truly.
The real genetic jackhammer. The real genetic jackhammer.
Also, Drunken Joe, Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. It was a legendary interview. That's what the tagline is, and it's a must-listen for everybody to hear Joe. They've never heard him before. Like I said, it was a real pleasure and a real honor, Joe, to have you on that show. We're going to do it again, definitely.
Steve, you see, he called me a legend. I have to give him the 25 cents now, right?
Yeah. I think you owe him a dollar. And don't make it one of those Canadian Tire Bucks either.
What he wants, the Canadian Tire Dollars.
How do you know about Canadian Tire money, though?
All right, you've been listening to the On the Mat Wrestling Show here on barnburner.ca with Steve Carney of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Stay tuned next week for another great episode, and hopefully you guys enjoy Hell in a Cell. And Rory, since you're there, don't eat all the pizza at the pizza place, Little Caesars Arena, okay, Rory?
You know what? I kind of pre-buffed myself all last week. I had like.
And so you're saying you're Rory Buff Bagwell?
No, I wouldn't say that. Sorry.
Right.
You know, I'll leave the genetic jackhammer jokes to you and whatnot. But yeah, I'm all pizzaed out, if you get what I mean.
All right. Thanks a lot, you guys. And
anytime.
Enjoyed on the Mat Wrestling Show. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You got it, guys.